Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, we're live, man, with another episode. This is a couple days before Super Bowl Sunday, so it is February 9th.
Yes.
What's up?
Not much, man. Quick little shout out to the wifey whose birthday is February 11th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Super Bowl. Everybody's going to be partying for her.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
It'll be a pretty chill weekend. You know, may go to take her to lunch and then sit down, watch the game somewhere, and, you know, hopefully the Chiefs lose.
Sweet. Well, we know who you're going for now. I thought we were going to get into that later, but yeah.
Hey, if they could both lose, well, that'd be fine, okay?
That'd be funny. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. She's turning 23, 25. Which one is it? Somewhere in there?
Add a decade to 25. That way I'm not saying the real age.
We won't go any further on that one. We don't want to get you in trouble.
I stayed 35.
But update on you, man. You're out for a couple weeks. It might be longer. Man, what's up with you?
Man, you know, the purse is getting old and, you know, stepping off a truck wrong. And then the initial injury happened middle of November. Kind of stepped off the truck, popped the knee, missed a couple shifts. And then, you know, almost 2 months of the day later, dropped the fire tone about 10 p.m. and jumped up, got out of the chair, and then pop, went straight down. And, you know, I was like, well, that's weird. Maybe I just tripped on something. And, you know, tried to push myself back up, take a step, and back down again. So it turns out kind of torn meniscus, PCL, and some tearing the ACL. So we're about to see on Tuesday what the ortho says the plan of attack is. So hopefully the PCL and ACL aren't bad, and it'll just be a couple weeks from the meniscus if they work on it and be back to it.
So the ortho is going to tell you more in depth on the extent of the damage. You know that it's damaged. You just got to know the extent of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did say a complex medial meniscus tear. So that usually means, okay, yeah, they got to go in and fix it. It's just, you know, is it going to be a few weeks or is it going to be a couple months? But if you add in the PCL to it, if that's bad, then it'll be 6 to 9 months. I'm like, yeah, no, please, God, no.
So we're looking at about a month to 9 months. Could be either or depending on severity, right?
Yeah. So, you know, in the meantime, just growing out the beard. Why not?
You know, and wifey likes it, right? Days. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do. My beard never really came in really well. I was more of a goatee guy. It just worked better, and it hid my double chin because I grow it down a little bit closer to the neck. So I do miss that extent of it, but I'm gotten used to the shaved face. But I do enjoy my facial hair when I'm allowed to grow it out during my vacation and everything. But
I was looking at our baseball cards that we had in Cleburne and, you know, had the beard, and I was like, oh, wow, somebody spilled the salt shaker. I was like, oh, God, no.
Just from then, you got a little white in there, huh?
Uh-huh.
It's funny how you probably had it shaved for so long, you didn't know what it would look like until now, and then you're just like, oh, my gosh, where did all this come from? Yeah, I might be, I don't know. I don't want to take the risk now trying to grow it out. Might be the same way. I don't know.
We'll see. I'm pushing 40 now, so I think that's part of it.
Yeah, it could do it. It's eventually going to happen.
Chasing a 4-year-old around every day.
That'll definitely do it. That's probably what it's from.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely not for being married.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. We're not going to dig two holes. Just the one for the birthday. We don't need to dig it deeper. But give us an update on tragedy down there in Fort Worth with your buddies, your coworkers. Tell us what happened and give us an update, man.
So 2:30 in the morning, they hit a fire town on the east side, working residential fire, which I guess that would have been Monday, A shift Monday, so early Tuesday morning, about 2:30. Engine 3 on their way. We don't know the extent of the investigation or exactly what happened, but engine 3 ended up actually rolling. They didn't just lay it over. They rolled it two or three times. You know, the driver had some minor injuries, got out, I think a little back injury too. One of the firefighters in the back was out of my class, the fast track of it, minor injuries, I think a little arm injury. One of the other firefighters on the back had had some spinal fractures. I think he went through surgery on that. He has feeling. He was up and walking around the other night. The captain, where the truck came and landed, rested on his side after rolling, had some pretty extensive head injuries, facial trauma. He was reports that I guess he was in a coma for a little bit in the hospital. He came out of it, was responding later that day, and then I heard the other night that he was actually arguing with the staff that he wanted to get up and walk around. So he is out of the ICU. Three of the four guys are at home, but the captain obviously is still in the hospital, but he's recovering nicely and everything's trending upwards.
Just the fact that he's awake and talking and up and around, you know, shows good sign, because I think last time we talked, I just heard from you that he was just in ICU and they didn't know the extent of it, the severity or whatnot. But that's good news that he's shown that he's up and around talking and walking and everything. It just seems like just a matter of time he'll be up and out of there, hopefully.
Yep. So Engine 4, who was first on, was actually on that fire ticket as well. They heard the call come in about Engine 3 rolling, and they broke off from the fire and went straight there. So they were the closest unit. So, you know, a lot of the speculation, like if they hadn't got there when they did, it could have been a lot worse, because apparently he was kind of agonal breathing when they got there and pulled him out. But you know, thankful that, you know, there was another company close by to be able to get there in a hurry and do what they had to do.
Yeah, and if no one's ever seen a fire truck up close, they're pretty big equipment, and to actually roll that thing, for it being as boxy as it is, it doesn't seem like it would roll that easy unless it was very, either really high speed or just a really sharp turn or something happened, you know, to where to build that much momentum to actually roll that thing. That's a tall order for sure.
And being on a reserve engine, you know, a lot of people say, you know, drivers got to be familiar with their trucks, and you know, when you're on your front line, you're familiar with the ins and outs, and you know, can't handle this, can't handle that. If you're on a reserve, you know, a lot of the reserves are reserves for a reason. They're past their prime, and sometimes the braking system isn't the best, sometimes the steering will go a little crazy on you, sometimes it gets loose. So I mean, it could be a culmination of things, and or 2:30 in the morning, somebody could have pulled out in front of them. Yeah. You know, and kept going. We just don't know yet. There's an investigation. And, you know, even if we did know, we're not at liberty to really say more details about it. But, you know, just thankful that they avoided a real tragedy and someone losing their life or anything like that.
Yeah. And for non-firefighter listeners, reserves are just backup trucks for when your normal truck goes down. We pull the reserves out, usually an older truck that most trucks usually have some kind of difference to them. I don't know how you guys do them, but each one of our trucks has some kind of small little difference, you know, where it was up to the driver that whoever that truck came onto kind of made some specific things. So every truck usually is different from the reserve. So not saying that played a part, but it could have, that the older trucks, like you said, is different, might be a little more difficult to handle. Just might have a different feel to it, and you're just driving a different truck at that high rate of speed, could make a big difference to something that you've never drove before that might be the first time you drove it. So it definitely, reserve trucks make it a little harder, but they are necessity four fire departments in case you have a truck go down, you got something that's ready to take its place.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, looking at the pictures of that wreckage is pretty intense. I mean, you can see what a, you know, what a wild ride it would have been on the inside. I mean, it hurts looking at it. You know, it's I mean, you go to Fort Worth FD page on Facebook or Instagram, and you can see the actual wreckage. I mean, it's crazy. You can tell they rolled it because, I mean, hoses looking like spaghetti, and even the water tank came flying out of the truck. So,
I couldn't imagine being the next on scene, you know, with coming to see a fire truck on the side and then seeing your buddies in there and then the state that they were in, you know, that would be pretty pretty hard to take, you know, seeing that extent of the conditions that they were in and trying to pull them out. I know you're just going to react and do your job, but it's a little bit tougher when it's people you know.
Yeah.
And I just imagine that for volunteer firefighters in these small towns where they run up on scenes, you know, and most of the time it's somebody they know. And yes, that's a different feeling than just dealing with general public with like, hey, I don't know this person, but I'm going to do my job anyways, you know, the best of my abilities. And then when it's somebody you know, it definitely takes a different meaning or different toll on you.
Oh, for sure. And, yeah, that's the nature of our job. We never know.
Yeah, we'll be praying for them. Hopefully the captain gets out quickly, and hopefully everybody gets to come back to their job in a due time with no long-term health problems.
Absolutely.
Since it is 2 days before Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know if we can say that. Are we held to a standard of not being able to say it, the big game, or can we say Super Bowl Sunday?
Whichever you like.
We're going to go with Super Bowl Sunday because I heard I think it might have been a big show. It was like right after Good Morning America or something. It was like Kelly and not Ryan anymore, but her husband. And she said, the big game. And she was like, what is that? What is that, Super Bowl Sunday? And they kind of looked at her and she was like, I don't know what the big game is. Is that what it is? And they were like, yeah. I was like, I don't know if they get fined for that or what, because they can't use it. It's like labeled, isn't it? Trademarked that name, Super Bowl Sunday.
Maybe. I mean, if they had permission to do it, I mean, I'm sure it's fine.
Well, she said it on accident. I don't know. She was like, what's the big game? Is that Super Bowl? And they were like, looked at her and they're like, yes, that's what it is.
Unless they're just surprised that
it could be that too.
I mean,
it could be that too.
I don't think you can really hold somebody down for playing Super Bowl Sunday. That's kind of a, in general term. Oh, what is, oh yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday, isn't it? Then everybody be getting, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you hear all these people say the big game, you know, because yeah. I think there's some kind of whatever on there, but I don't know how you can stop everybody from saying it, like you said. But anywho, I digress. Super Bowl Sunday, Chiefs, 49ers. Pretty much how did we get here? We had the Chiefs beat the Ravens, yeah, and 49ers beat Detroit.
Chiefs beat the Bills and the Ravens.
Bills and Ravens, and then
the Chiefs beat the Dolphins, Bills, and Ravens. There we go.
Yeah, I know they've had a good run. I honestly didn't see them make it. Maybe win one game, yeah, and then maybe lose in the second or third round, but I did not see them making it to the Super Bowl, so credit to them.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Credit to Andy Reid for making it. I just kind of see just the way they played throughout the year. I was just like, man, this team looks different. They don't look like the Chiefs of old, and just didn't think they really had what it took. But I mean, they're playing their best ball at the right time. And as you know, it doesn't matter during the regular season, as long as you make it to playoff mm-hmm. contention. If you can get to playoffs, then anything can happen. So the Chiefs are.
The NFL had to put a spin on it because everybody caught on to their, their logo color scheme thing. So they're like, well, we got to help the Chiefs win, you know? The Dolphins can't play in sub-zero temperature. That's the
No, they look terrible.
But I mean, if you ask me, that game against Buffalo and then that game against Ravens kind of looked a little funny because I'm sorry, the Ravens are a running team, but your running backs only get 6 total carries or something like that?
Come exactly. On. I saw people complain about that too. Why not stick to your bread and butter?
You know, and I was kind of hoping it would have been the Lions after, you know, Dallas got knocked out. Why not the Lions? Lions and Chiefs.
That would have been cool.
Let the NFL season start in the way it started with the Lions beating the Chiefs. So.
Yeah. That would have been cool to see the Lions. I wish Lions and 49ers would have been on different sides and got to see that for the championship. That would have been cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a good run for the Lions. They're going to have a lot of guys back. But, you know, Dan, what's his name? He said this might be our best time to do it, which, I mean, people who don't play sports don't understand that. They're like, why would he say that? Why would he say that? But to understand how hard it is to even get that far as a sports person that's played, you know, it's like, this might be true. It might be true. That might be your best opportunity to make it to the Super Bowl because you never know what next year brings. It's just so many unknowns that you don't know. You could be losing guys. You could be picking up, you know, new coaching stuff, new general manager, you know, anything could happen. So like he said, he knew that what he had was good, that it could have been a Super Bowl and that was their best chance because just the future's unknown. So that's why if you criticize him for saying that, I say, you don't understand the sport then. Or just the severity of how to get there. Yeah, they had a good run. They had a good run. And so we got Chiefs 49ers in the championship. Like you said, they were on to them. They had the purple and red logo. Everybody was thinking it was going to be Ravens 49ers. For you that don't know about it, every logo in the last 4 years has had 2 color schemes kind of mixed together. And they've been the Super Bowl contenders for the last 4 years have been those colors that are on there. And this year was purple and red, signifying Ravens 49ers, because you couldn't have had a Chiefs Ravens because they're 2 different red teams on the same different sides. And so, like you said, I think they were being exposed and they said, hey, we got to switch this up. What was the other logo? They came up with an alternative logo, didn't they? What colors were those?
Blue and red.
I gotcha.
Signifying maybe a Bills,
Detroit. What about Detroit Chiefs?
Detroit Chiefs, or even Dallas Bill, Dallas Chiefs. I mean, just these teams with blue in them. I mean, it was, you know, but whatever. I mean, it's all fixed in the end. So,
yeah. So I think for you, when we did our filling out our brackets and whatnot, I think for your semis, you had Ravens, Bills. And then you had 49ers Dallas in there, which Bills didn't make it past the Chiefs in the quarters or semis, whatever's before conference champion. I don't know what you'd call it. I feel like conference champions would be semis. So quarters.
So it was a wild card divisional.
Divisional. Conference. I know they got to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So divisional. And then you had 49ers and Dallas, which Lions made a good run. I think I had Ravens, Bills, and I had Ravens moving on, and then I had 49ers, Lions, and then had 49ers moving on, which I have 49ers picked to win it all, and I think you had Dallas to win it all.
I was being a homer, you know.
Hey, I totally understand. Hey, it was, like I said, they looked their best in years to have a good chance of running it, and I think there's a lot of people with you that says, hey, this was a good year for them to do it, and then just goose egg, man. Just we can go on that too. Like, what's your thoughts on Dallas as a whole? Since that's your home team, what's your thoughts on them?
Let's see. It all stems to me like the quarterback can't win a big game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell from the get go that he was off. It's like, oh boy. I mean, CeeDee Lamb frustrated after the first series. You know, I mean, let's take a look at it. Dak Prescott, 2-5 playoff record, worst percentage in NFL history among QBs with at least 5 starts. So 73-41 record, but 18-24 when facing a team with a winning record. So
do you think it's just facing better teams, or is it once playoffs he just chokes? Because I know playoffs bring out you got the best teams in playoffs. Yeah, is it that he gets to that elite level?
I just don't think he can handle the pressure. I think he tries to do too much and in part just snowballs away from him. You know, it's like, I think you sent it to me. The 49ers started prepping for the Packers after the second quarter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why not? Yeah, for you can how? Make your offensive run in the second half, but where was that the first half? You pretty much had your way the second half, and then it's like, oh, well, we got nothing to play for, so let's go down and score 30 points.
I was about to say, for how the score looked, if you look at the final score, you're like, oh, that was close. It really wasn't the whole game.
I mean, they started making the Packers panic because they put their starters back in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. They were down like what, 28 and a half or maybe more. I can't remember.
27-3 or something like that.
27-3, yeah. And then they ended up winning by was 7, but it was not even close all the time. They just Packers were playing not to lose at that point. But then again, it was like if Dallas would have came out first half like they did the second half, they would have probably won by 21.
I mean, you look at it, 14 points off turnovers. One pick six, another interception on the short side of the field. Well, the defense got to do better. I get that. But the defense just came off the field, interception.
And the defense out there in two plays.
Yeah. The defense can't defense a pick six. So what do you expect them to do? Come on. Have some feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, like you said, to give up that many points, though, still – as a good defense, that was a lot of points they gave up, like you said, but it was one pick six. And what the final end up being? Do you remember?
I'm not entirely sure.
40-something to – I can't remember either. But, yeah, they still gave up quite a bit of points, though.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, when your defense is out there, 48-32. So they end up losing by 16.
Yep.
But – yeah, so it was 27-7 at half, and then Green Bay scored another 14 in the third, with Dallas only scoring 9, and then Dallas put up a 16 spot in the fourth quarter just because Green Bay was kind of playing, you know, like you said, their twos. They didn't want to get anybody hurt for the next round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Green Bay was finished 10-8. I think they were 9-7 before the game started, mm-hmm. and then Dallas was 12-5 before the game started.
Yeah. It was like Dallas went away from their defense that they've kind of done all year, and you're playing the zone. It's like, at what point do you go away from the zone when you're getting torched?
Yeah.
Dogs hadn't had a 100-yard game in 2 years, and all of a sudden pops out 4 catches for 150 or something like that. It's like, hello?
Yeah. But then again, did Green Bay shut down CeeDee Lamb, or did Dak just not find him as much? Because CeeDee was tearing it up the last 2 or 3 games of the season. I think he was the best player in all NFL the last 3 or 4 games of the year. And then to go in the first round, just not use him? Or I didn't watch all of it, but I didn't know if Green Bay just specifically shut him down, or Dak just didn't find him.
No, Dak couldn't find him, and Dak couldn't get the ball to him. There were several times he was wide open, overthrow, underthrow. I mean, it's mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I don't know. So you look at those 14 points on turnovers, I mean, that's a potential 28-point swing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying Dallas would have gone down and got a touchdown or even scored, but, I mean, you can look at the potential as a 28-point swing. So you add 14, you take away 14. You know,
yeah.
It's 46-34 the other way.
Yeah, that's a big change. Shoot, just the pick six is a 14-point swing. You know, you're going down to drive to tie it, and then you're down 14 before you know it.
And that pick six was bad. It wasn't even close. It was like, what are you throwing to?
Yeah.
He led the defender to the touchdown, was what he did.
Yeah. So what's their main problem? Is it a Dak problem? Is it a offensive coordinator problem? Or is it a Jerry Jones problem?
Dak and Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry, best owner. I would say best owner. Gets his players anything and everything he needs. I think he's loyal to a fault. You know, he'll take care of his players, but then he, you know, becomes too familial with them.
Yeah.
Which I get it. And it makes the players love him. But at the same time, it's like, you know, when things were going good, you had Jimmy Johnson, who was drafting, who was picking the teams, who was getting it going. And Jerry, you know, he couldn't stand that he wasn't getting the limelight of drafting these players and whatnot. And so we see how that relationship ended.
Yeah, there's a fine line between managing and owning. It's almost just like playing and coaching. You know, there's a fine line between the relationship you got to have there. And I was able to see it when I was there at Cleburne. You know, I was spring training playing. I was with all the guys. And then when I came on to the coaching staff, there was a division there, which it's just automatic. It's just you got to kind of keep that line. You can't really be too buddy-buddy, because then what happens when you have to make that hard decision to get rid of somebody, you know? Yep. Or you don't want to be too cold, because then you want your players to play for you. So there's a fine line between the managing and owning, to where you got to do your part as owner to manage the coaches and the managers themselves, to where if you're managing too, then you got a whole different relationship with people that an owner probably shouldn't have, or just not to that extent.
Yep.
But like you said, I think either when he steps down, or he might need to try in the next few years just to say, hey, I'm going to step back and let somebody else handle it. I'm going to hire the best GM. You know, I could see him doing that, saying, I'm going to hire the best GM and just see how it goes, you know, because if apparently it's not working, you know, what you're doing is not working. I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like you had one of the best GMs in Bill Parcells when he was here. That guy could pick a team and coach it and be just fine, but you wouldn't let him do it. And you see what happened. I think 10-6 and kicked him out.
Yeah. And what I just don't know what it's going to take for him to realize that, you know, to where, hey, I'm just going to get the best guys to do this, and I'm just going to be like, hey, whatever you need, I'll get it for you, you know. And it's just kind of like, I guess, like the Dodgers right now. They're just like, hey, whatever you need, let's get it, you know. Just kind of fire selling in the good way, in the positive way, going all out to where. Well, go ahead.
Sadly, it'll be when Jerry Jones passes away, but the Jones will step in and
I didn't want to mention that, but that's where I was kind of leading to, was that that's probably what it's going to come down to for him to step away from the GM spot. But yeah, if it does happen, and then things flip on ahead and starts going in a positive direction, it'd be like, man, I wish he would have done that earlier while he was around to reap the benefits, you know, of having that division, just saying, hey, I'm going to do my job the best I can. I'm going to hire someone to do the GM spot the best they can, and we're going to win us a couple Super Bowls in a row.
Yep.
But then, do you do that with Dak, or do you move on? Then they just get signed into an extension, or am I making that up?
I think that's what they're going to have to do to free up money, because they can't just keep his contract what it is.
Yeah.
So I think if you do that and you put some different stuff in it, then, you know, you're allowing yourself to go out and get another QB to groom. You're allowing yourself to go out and get the players that you need.
Yeah. Well, they have not Love. Who's the quarterback from San Francisco that they traded for?
Lance.
Yeah. They have him on the bench. I mean, do you start prepping him, let him get some game time? I mean, I don't know how well.
You spent, what, a second or third rounder to go out and trade for him?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, you see something there. So, why not prep him? I love Cooper Rush. You know, Cooper saved last season. Not this season, but the past season for us.
Mm-hmm.
Went out, played his heart out. And, you know, if he's under the understanding, hey, I'll stay in Dallas as a backup. I don't care. I'll make my $5 to $10 million a year. Whatever. That's the easiest job. I'm a Dallas Cowboy, and I'm the backup, and I'm going to play a couple games here and there, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But you got to do something. You got to start grooming, because it's been the same song and dance with Dak.
Yeah.
But and once he comes out and he's flat, he's not turning it around anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Love, is love the answer for the Green Bay? I mean, he looked really good in that playoff game, and all year I've been, every time I watch him, I feel like I watch like his negative throws. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this kid looks terrible, which then I probably turn the channel and he just does immaculate. But
Green Bay was the hottest offense, I think, there towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
They finally started clicking. You have second year players coming in, receivers, fast, strong receivers that are going to get the ball.
I think on average they were the youngest team in the NFL on average. So, I mean, high potential for them coming in next year and the next 3 or 4 years, you know, to where they, I know they've put side by side Rodgers and Love stats in the first, 20 games or something. They were eerily comparable.
They did three of them, Favre, Rodgers, and Love. And they're like, yeah, this kid is the next Favre and Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just from now, from a standpoint, first 2-3 years, has it been 3?
I think so.
I think he set one behind Rodgers, and then this is his second full year. Like they said, they compared the first 3 years to, like you said, those other two, and pretty similar. And that's not an exact replica of what's to come, but it's an indication, too, of what could happen. So that'd be cool. See Green Bay back in the spotlight, you know, building back up. Like to see them play the Jets when Rodgers is healthy. That'd be cool to watch. See how that goes down. But the championship, we'll go to that. We already know who you're rooting for. You made that clear. You got Chiefs, who kind of are trying to form a dynasty. And if they do win this one, I think they should be considered a dynasty, just winning 3 of the last 5, is it?
I think so, yeah.
And I think they've won the AFC 6 or 7 years in a row, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been there, you know, 5 or 6, 7 times out of the last 8 or something, 9, whatever it is. But that's considered, you know, since the Belichick, Brady, New England Patriots era, they've kind of stepped up into that role of being the team that's always there.
Yep.
And so you never can count them out. But the 49ers offense just looks like a straight juggernaut. And I don't know how you stop that, from Deebo Samuel to Ayuk to Kittle. McCaffrey to Kittle. And Purdy's just got to be average. He's just got to be solid. And they're great. It's when Purdy has terrible games is when they're in trouble. But if Purdy just does average, you know, just nothing fantastic, no MVP numbers, just do your job, go 24 for 35. You know, I think the run game really helped them win their game against Detroit. They shut down the McCaffrey pulling out of the outfield, out of the backfield. They shut down Deebo. I think did Deebo get hurt? Am I making that up?
Deebo got hurt against Green Bay.
He's
in a limited fashion, trying to take it easy on him, so he'd be definitely ready for the Super Bowl if they won.
Gotcha. So that's the danger of them. They got so many weapons that if you do put everybody on Kittle, McCaffrey, and Deebo, that left Purdy wide open to just run all day, and that's what hurt. Detroit, they weren't able to put a spy in the middle of the field to protect that, because they were trying to protect everybody else and guard them, and Purdy took advantage of it. And shoot, I think he had like 60 something rushing yards all year, and I think he had like 70 that game or something like that. I think he doubled it.
What hurt Detroit as well is they went away from their offensive game plan.
Why do people do that? That's Ravens didn't run the ball, went away from their offensive game plan. Dallas.
Detroit was just having their way with that San Francisco offense, and then second half got cute and did. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Both championship games were really fun to watch for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were back and forth, and I turned it on, and Detroit was up 7-0 with like 2 minutes off the clock. I was like, "This is gonna be a good game," you know. And sure enough, it was, and they were back and forth, and Detroit's just like one, you know, big play away from tying it up, and it was gonna be good either way. I was kind of, now that fantasy's over with, you know, just kind of rooting for a good game. But it was good on both. So hopefully the Super Bowl ends up the same, to where it's close and not a blowout, because those kind of suck. The one I remember the most being a blowout was Raiders Buccaneers, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the Raiders just got absolutely demolished. It was like 43-14 or something. I can't remember that Super Bowl. But, yeah, it's just like, I hope there's a game not like that. And then the ones you do remember is the Rams Titans game, you know, where he's stretching out to the yard line and trying to make it, you know, and those are the ones that you really remember. So hopefully it's a game like that.
So who are you picking?
I've been saying it from day one, 49ers.
Okay.
Just the way they've been building year after year, they've been so close year after year. And just picking up McCaffrey just fitting right in. And if everybody's healthy, everybody's good. And it's going to take everybody to play a good game. You know, it's a Super Bowl. You got to play flawless. Whoever makes the most mistakes is going to lose. But I just think that there's just too many weapons. And I just think, I don't know, I've been rooting for the 49ers all year.
So it's got the Niners by 1.5.
I think it's going to be close, but I think it's going to end up being probably plus 4.5, so I'd probably say by a touchdown or so.
Now
it might be 10 points max.
The Chiefs are down one of their offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You think that changes anything?
It always does. It always does. I mean, you don't have your first string guy that's in there. That's who got him there.
Yep.
It's definitely going to, but now it just depends if San Francisco can put a guy to expose that position or not.
Does it depend on if it's Bosa's side or not?
Well, they got Bosa or is it Pryor?
Oh,
what's his name from Ohio State?
He came from the
from Washington, yeah. Pryor, isn't it?
Is it Pryor? I thought it was someone else.
I can't remember. He's from Ohio State. I can remember everything about him.
Yeah.
And can't remember his name. And I can't even find him on there. But yeah, I've been rooting for him day one. Terrell Pryor? No. That's the quarterback.
Chase Young.
I'm talking about the quarterback. Okay. That's where I got Pryor from Ohio State. I was like, that doesn't sound right, but Chase Young. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah. They got Chase Young on one side and Bosa on the other. I mean, like I said, their defense is good. They're the best all around team. It will be an upset if 49ers lose. Yes. And that's why Chiefs are underdogs. But then again, like I said, you just can't count a team that's that resilient out. You know, they're playing that good. They've had 2 weeks to prep for each other. You know, Andy Reid's a legendary coach looking for his, fourth?
Something like that.
Fifth. One with the Eagles, and this will be his third with the Chiefs. So forth.
Yeah.
One of the few coaches to do it with two different teams. And like I said, I think that just goes to show how good and vital Andy Reid is. You know, you got experience and just a guy that can probably bring a locker room together no matter what.
Oh, for sure. So here's why I think 49ers have the upper hand, because they have a guy they can use to mimic Travis Kelce during practice. George Kittle.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've been using him as their scout team tied in to do the stuff Travis Kelce can do.
Oh, yeah.
And Niners have some very good, strong, fast linebackers, I think, that'll be able to blanket him.
Yeah, I think that's going to be their main key. You've seen during the year the people that shut down Kelce the most are the teams that beat Kansas City.
Yep.
And that was on top of their wide receivers missing balls because all they had to do was guard Kelce and nobody else could catch beyond them. But if their wide receivers are catching on the outside, it's going to open up Kelce for a lot more catches. But like I said, I'll take those chances with my corners, you know, and you got fast linebackers. You know, if you're playing zone, Kelce's going to find a hole. But like you said, with Kittle, if they've been used to how he plays, then they can be ready for him.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a toss up, man. For some reason, I'm just leaning towards the 49ers. Just think they got it all. Unless it's scripted for Chiefs to win and Kelce to propose to Taylor Swift on the 50-yard line, then
there's rumors she may not even be there.
She's going to make it from Tokyo. She's going to make it. I've seen people they've already done the math on it. Like saying if she leaves right after a concert, it's a so-and-so hour flight. she arrives in LA at this time. I think I heard on the news this morning or something, they said that the only problem she was having was where to land her private jet because there were so many jets flying in for the game that was her main problem. First world problems. But yeah, she's already generated the equivalent for the brand value, $331 million for the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL as of late January. That's according to Apex Marketing Group. So that's why they have them in the Super Bowl, is to keep that money ball rolling downhill.
Yep.
But yeah, he's going to propose on the 50-yard line if it happens. No, I'm joking.
So let's change to regular season accolades.
Yes.
Let's save the MVP for last.
Okay.
Let's go to... Let's start out with one of the first of the two controversial ones.
Oh, I'm in.
Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm already livid about it. Go ahead.
I'm going to let you take off and run with it. Like you told me, explain why.
Okay. So there's been some talk that, well, who won Defensive Player of the Year? It's Myles Garrett from the Browns. Great player. Not taking anything from him. But there was another player that outdid him in almost every category except for one, which they were tied in, and that's T.J. Watt with Pittsburgh. So if you compare the stats, I don't know what you go by when you elect a player of the year. I thought it was stats, but I guess not. I guess it's now just all a social thing to where whoever brings in the most money or whoever most likable, or you know, it's like all-star voting now, where it's the most popularity contest. But apparently it's not stats anymore, because if you look at the stats, it's games played. Myles Garrett has 16, TJ Watt has 17. Interceptions, Garrett has 0, Watt has 1. Pass deflection, Garrett has 3, Watt has 8. Forced fumbles, this is the only one they're tied on, 4-4. Sacks, Garrett has 14, Watt has 19. Total tackles, Garrett has 42, TJ Watt has 68. Solo tackles, Garrett has 33, Watt has 48. Assisted tackles, Garrett has 9, TJ Watt has 20. And tackles for loss, Garrett has 17, and TJ Watt has 19. TJ Watt leads in 8 of the 9 stats, which is the 9th one they were tied in. And Myles Garrett gets the defensive player of the year.
Travis, so,
explain that to me. Like I said, I don't know what you go by, what you go by on to vote. Because if you just look at the stats and don't put the names there, you're going to vote for the guy on the right every time, the better stats. And I just don't understand how that happens.
It's a travesty. It is not okay for the game. It's ridiculous.
I don't know how you get to that point. I don't know. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand it.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I just want to know, who does the voting? Is it just a individual group or a group from the NFL? Or is it, you know, who votes? That's what I want to know. And what are they voting on? What criteria?
Right.
Who looks the coolest when they do it? I don't know.
Who has the best jersey sales?
Who has the best jersey sales? I don't know who does that.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let's go. Rookie of the Year, I thought was pretty deserved. C.J. Stroud. He proved a lot of people wrong. I guess he was the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then who's that?
Will Same team.
Anderson Jr.
Same team. Yep. Will Anderson.
Rookie of the Year.
Yep. They swept that Rookie of the Year. So whoever their draft board guy is, he should get a raise.
Yep.
Definitely. Because I definitely didn't think CJ Stroud would amount to a good first year, at least. So he proved me wrong for sure. But
see
to get an offensive defensive. Goes. Yeah. Usually got the sophomore slump, which they say. But. He's got good weapons around him. I think the only person that had a chance was maybe Tank Dell to come in and challenge him. But it's hard to beat a quarterback for any accolades because they just are available to put up more numbers. They can run, they can throw, they do all the above. It's harder when they can accumulate more stats, so it's tough to beat that.
The Walter Payton Man of the Year, Cameron Hayward.
I love this award. I love this award. They hand those out. That's the award for the guy that does the most amongst the community, and they usually pick one person from each team to represent for that, right? And then they vote on it, who pretty much did the most. And it's just more like a community guy award. And I love that award and kudos to him. I know that's a big honor for them and they treat that like something special, which it is. And I'm just glad that they hold that to a high regard. And so credit to him. Good job. I'm not even going to argue who gets that because I think they all should get an award for it. Whoever gets nominated on their team, I know they get the sticker, but I just think they should get so much more for how much they give back.
Yep. You know, we're going to hold off on the Offensive Player of the Year because that kind of goes in with the, I guess, MVP race.
Yeah, yeah.
In which he almost had as many touchdowns as one of the MVP candidates. So.
Yeah. That's funny.
One sec. Hey, hard to hear my phone's about to die.
No, you're good. You are good. I need a
next. What's next?
As well.
Huh?
I need to get an iPad as well.
I know. Our
I
internet.
On mine, and then I Google from the phone.
Internet's down and can't use the old Wi-Fi, so we're stuck to the old phone and headphones. Yeah. And so I had to take headphones out. Hopefully that doesn't hurt the old audio there, but we're just going to go with it, man. What you got next?
All right, the six really MVP candidates. Let's see.
One sec, though. Did you see who got a comeback player of the year?
No.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
They gave it to Joe Flacco. Yeah, I didn't know if you read that one or not. I was pumped when I saw it. And then they had a coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski from the Browns, for going 11-6. So credit to those two. All right, MVP, go ahead.
I don't know how Dan Campbell doesn't win coach of the year.
Yeah, I don't know either.
From the crap show that he turned those Lions into, I don't know. Once again, that's the homer in me, former Cowboy. But
apparently someone had the votings for. They're all Browns fans, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. I mean, Dan Campbell was the consistent in that offense. We're going for it. We're going for it. We're going for it. We're not backing down.
Yeah, people
stuck with that game plan all year long.
People questioning for that, but it was like, this is just the way the dude coaches. Like, he didn't deviate from how he coaches. He didn't change one bit.
And it shows faith in your team, confidence in your team. I believe in y'all. I trust y'all. And if what's-his-face doesn't drop a ball for a first down, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, they'll be back. They'll be back.
All right, here we go.
Go for it.
Guess the player.
Okay, I'm going to try.
4,183 pass yards, 27 total TDs, which all 27 were passed. No rush.
Okay, I'm going to go no rushing, you said?
No rushing.
Well, it's got to be a quarterback. Who doesn't rush? Is it like a Goff?
No, Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes, okay. Oh, it's not like taking off from the no rushing yards, like as not a running back. I was thinking rushing yards like.
No rushing TDs. Pocket. No rushing.
Okay, so Patrick Mahomes, gotcha.
All right, this one got the Offensive Player of the Year, so you know this. Because it's 1,459 rush yards, 2,023 total yards for the season, 21 total touchdowns, 7 receiving, 14 rushing.
My boy McCaffrey there.
Yeah. Yeah, and he almost had as many touchdowns as one of your MVP candidate quarterbacks. And didn't finish in the top. I don't know. 3,678 pass yards, 29 total TDs, 24 passing, 5 rushing.
Allen.
Lamar Jackson. 4,280 pass yards, 33 total TDs, 31 pass, 2 rush.
Let's go with Goff.
Brock Purdy. Yeah. pass yards. 38 total touchdowns, in which only 2 were rushing. Goff is not in any of these, by the way.
Okay. That's what I should start with the list. I had our list wrote down. Only 2 rushing for that one on this quarterback. Well, we know it's not Hurts because Hurts has like 15 rushing because all the tush pushes. Shoot. Stafford?
Prescott.
Okay. He only had 2 rushing?
Yep.
I feel like he would have like 4 or 5.
Last one.
Okay.
4,306 pass yards, 44 total touchdowns, 15 of which were rushing.
It's either Josh Allen or Hurts. I'm going to go with Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yes, got one.
Josh Allen.
Yeah. 15 rush.
Which one of those got the MVP that really probably shouldn't have?
Well, I know who got the MVP, but there are probably 2 other that probably had better overall. You probably had Christian McCaffrey would have been my top pick. Mm-hmm. And then listening to Josh Allen's probably would have been second, but I know Lamar took first. You might have to read both those. Do Lamar and Josh Allen's back-to-back stats, like side-by-side stats.
Lamar Jackson, 3,678 passing yards. Didn't eclipse 4,000, in which the other 4 quarterbacks did.
Yeah.
29 total touchdowns and only 5 were rushing. So 24 passing. Josh Allen, 4,306 passing yards.
Got him there.
44 total touchdowns.
Got him there.
29 passing, 15 rushing.
Yeah. Got him in all sets. So like I said, what do we go by? You know, like what they should do is just put no names on the top, tell them the stats, and or just go by like the BCS bowl, just go by the stats. Just who's got the best stats? What are we voting on then if it's not by stats? That's what I'm curious about. I mean, do you consider I made my team like win over replacement? You know, is that part of the stats that go by? Like if Lamar wasn't there, how bad would the team be? Or if Josh Allen wasn't there, I think if any main quarterback wasn't there, every team would be terrible. But I guess I don't know what stats they go by.
The only stat that Lamar has Josh Allen in is rushing.
Rushing yards, not even TDs.
Rushing yards.
Yeah.
821 rushing yards. Allen had 524.
Yeah, but that's a quarterback. You know, that's 800's a lot for a quarterback, so credit to him. But to have 3 or 4 other stats below the other guy, the rushing yards shouldn't outweigh the passing TDs, passing yards, the rushing TDs, you know.
Yeah.
So, but my clear cut would have been Chris McCaffrey.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, is it possible to win MVP and Offensive Player of the Year? I mean, I feel like those are the similar stats.
Yeah, I think they're similar. I think basically if you don't get and you should have, then yeah.
Yeah.
So, your man, Jared Goff. 4,500 4,575 passing yards.
He's over 4,000. We're good.
32 total touchdowns. 30 were passing.
Yeah.
But your man, your boy, wasn't considered.
Really? Who were the top quarterbacks considered? Lamar, Allen, Mahomes?
Let's see. Lamar, Dak, Brock, Josh, Patrick, Stafford, C.J. Stroud.
They put C.J. in there above Goff?
Yeah.
I mean, he had a good year. I just didn't know he had a better year than Goff.
I don't think he did.
That's what I'm saying. What are we even keeping stats for if it's not even for anything? What are we keeping it for if it's not going to be?
Matt Stafford, 3,965 passing yards, 24 passing touchdowns. I don't know how many total. Let's see. Which is still more than Lamar Jackson.
True. Yeah, I don't know. Did they go by? They probably went by quality wins with him. Like, he led over the 49ers. He beat the Chiefs, I think. And like, they did have a good run there for like three or four straight games to where he looked really good. And they're like, oh, that sealed his MVP fate, you know, this and that. And I'm like, well, if you look over the whole year, MVP's over the whole player of the year, not most valuable player, of the last three or four games. But I don't know. Like I said, it's all the stats. Why keep them if we're not even going to buy them? If you're getting beaten out of 10 stats and then the 10th one you've tied with a guy and you still lose that spot, like, that's a sham.
Yep. So, man, it's already crap.
You got to go soon.
Yeah.
Well, we'll cut to if we're done with football talk, we got a quick segment on NFL. And we got our NFL, sorry, NHL. I'm talking NFL.
Replace a letter.
We got a quick stint in NHL. We got Bryce. We're going to do that interview right now. Cut to it. All right. Welcome back to the show, Bryce. Brother, how are we doing, man?
I'm doing really good. It's been a while.
It has been a while, man. It's we're about halfway through the hockey season here. We're just now getting to you, so sorry about that. We've had a lot going on with football and everything, and finally decided to get you on here. Should have had you on sooner. We finally got you back on.
This is probably like the best time. All-star bye week. So
yeah, they started yet, or they got like one more game?
No, all teams are done. Are done now.
Okay, so we're officially in the All-Star break, halfway through the season of NHL. And with our current rankings, we're going to jump right into it with our current hockey standing rankings. In the East Atlantic Division is Bruins, Panthers, and Lightnings. Bruins have a 31-9 win-loss ratio. Panthers with a 31-14. Lightning 27-18. And then on your East Metropolitan Division, you got Rangers sitting at 30-16. Hurricanes at 28-15 and Flyers at 25-19. What's your perspective on the East so far?
I have to say, like, it's been a lot, like a big up and down journey. But the fact that Boston's up there again is just crazy, even after losing Bergeron. And Krejci, it's crazy that they're still fighting up there for that first place.
Yeah, and for our hockey fans, if they don't remember last year, what was Bruins? Weren't they the ones that were like 40-something or 50-something and 12 or something and ended up losing first round?
Exactly, the President's Trophy curse.
Yeah, when did they hand that trophy out, at the end of the regular season? Okay, so Bruins are kind of in the same spot they were last year, hopefully with a different outcome. They're hoping for a different outcome than a first-round bounce. But like I said, 31-9, I think, is the best record in the NHL right now, currently at the All-Star break.
That is correct.
So we'll go to the West. We got in the central part, the Avalanche sitting at 32-14.
Can I take over?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. You got it.
Okay, so we have right now in the Central Division, we have the Avalanche at 32 wins, 14 losses, 3 overtime losses. They have currently a 3-game win streak going on. Then we have, of course, the Dallas Stars. who are sitting at a 30-13 and 30 wins, 13 losses, and 6 overtime losses. And they also have a 3-game win streak. And then we go down to the Jets, who are a team that's been up there and up and down, up and down this season. But they also have 30 wins like the Stars. They have 12 losses and 5 overtime losses. And they are sitting at a 3-game losing streak. And then we go down to the Pacific Division, where we have the Canucks with a 33-11-5 record with a 1-game winning streak. Got the Golden Knights with 29 wins, 15 losses, and 6 overtime losses with a 1-game losing streak. And then you have the Oilers at a 29-15-1. They have a whopping 16-game winning streak, which is really, really crazy.
What is the record, 18?
29.
Oh, I was way off. Okay.
29. No, sorry. I don't know the record. Sorry.
So currently on a 16-game win streak, what's your thoughts on them doing that to an all-star game? Is it going to be pretty tough to come back and start off where they left off, or is it going to be easier that they're rested up and ready to go again?
I don't know. Like, it all depends on how the teams take their break.
Mm.
Like, there are going to be some of the teams that will be still training or some that get the whole 9 days off.
Gotcha. So it is 9 days total?
Well, I know that for the Central Division, yes.
Gotcha.
Like, games don't start, I believe, until the 6th of February. So about 9 days, I guess.
The longest undefeated streak in NHL history belongs to the 1979-80 Philadelphia Flyers, who went unbeaten for 35 consecutive games.
Correct. That is right.
Long ways from that, but still making a good push. I mean, you don't really hear of too many teams in NHL going, you know, more than 10 usually, right? Or anything near that.
Yeah, it's just been crazy. Like, the fact that how bad they were doing at the beginning of the season, McDavid and Draisaitl were not producing at all. And they were like, I believe at one point they were like, they had 10 losses, like something like 8 losses in a row. Mm-hmm. And then they had between a goalie switch up to head coach switch up. It looks like it's helped them in the long run. And yeah, it sits them at a pretty good spot right now to push to the playoffs.
With a 16-game win streak, before the win streak started, they were sitting at 13-15. And then real 16 straight off to get to 29-15.
Correct.
So, I mean, they went from probably below 500 out of playoff contention to right there at third place in the Pacific. So good on them. Good on the front office for, you know, bringing in new guys and hiring the right guys to get them motivated enough to go on that win streak.
Yeah.
So currently as it sits, though, with the bracket today, if there was the Stanley Cup bracket out today, it would be in the East, would be Bruins versus Red Wings, Panthers versus Lightning, Hurricanes versus Flyers, Rangers versus Maple Leafs, and in the West would be Canucks versus Predators, Stars versus Jets, Golden Knights versus Oilers, and Avalanche versus Kings. But as we all know, in any sport, that's going to change just with the competitiveness of the professional sport. That's definitely going to change, but that's what they're setting at right now.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, with each division, we'll start with the East. Who's your pick to win each division in the East between the Atlantic and Metropolitan divisions?
I don't – like, so with the Bruins being at 31 wins and 9 losses, it's definitely attainable for Florida and Tampa to pass them. Like, it's definitely possible. But in hindsight, I think it's going to be Boston leading the Atlantic by the end of the regular season.
Yeah, you got 9 losses, man. That's pretty stellar for the division, for sure.
But also 9 overtime losses, which is ends up being technically 18 losses, but we're not getting that statistical, I guess.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, you get all that way you can. I still don't fully understand all the points and spreads and plus and minuses yet, but if you want to throw those statistics in, man, you go right ahead.
Okay. And then the Metropolitan. Yep. The Rangers definitely been off and on. Of course, you have the Hurricanes that are coming up with a 3-game win streak before the break. And then the Flyers have lost 5 in a row. So I feel like it'd be a battle between Hurricanes and Rangers for top spot. And if I had to go with one team, I would honestly have to say the Hurricanes.
Okay. All right. Sweet deal. So you got Bruins and Hurricanes coming out of the East as the top spots. Then we can move to the West. What you got on Central and Pacific?
Central. Like, I feel like if the Stars don't do what they've done the last 2 games and blow a two-goal game and send it into overtime, I feel like if they can bring it together to where they can win more games in they keep, because right now they're like the highest overtime loss team in the whole entire, wait, no, second. There's the second highest team
in the league
with overtime losses.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Stars can pick that up, I think the Stars can jump up there and have a tight battle with the Avalanche for that top spot.
So basically, if the Stars don't go to overtime, they have a good chance, right?
I mean, if you exclude the last 2 games where they actually won back-to-back, that's, and it's especially with the goalie situation of Ottinger being hurt for about 10 games, the Stars played okay with Wedgwood and that. I just found like they didn't have it all there.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, we of course we saw in that Detroit game, Wedgwood went down with an injury, came back a game later on the bench and was all healthy. And I would like to give a congratulations to Jake Ottinger for making his first All-Star game appearance.
Nice, congrats, Otter.
Out of the Otter.
Well deserved. Well deserved. Well, what keeps the Avalanche or the Jets from taking the division?
I mean, like, the Jets have it there with a strong goalie with Hellebuck. The Avalanche, they've been switching between a couple goalies, I believe. Where the Stars have basically, unless it's a back-to-back, Otter's pretty much starting every game, which is really good in a way, but you don't want to make him too tired to where he can't perform well in the playoffs.
I pick hockey goalies for our baseball fans out there that aren't too familiar with hockey. I look at hockey goalies as baseball catchers, to where you have your main guy that's going to go about maybe 70-80% of the games, and then you're going to have your backup guy that's going to fill in, like you said, on those back-to-back days, to where you don't want to wear out your original catcher. I'm assuming that's the way it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, whenever there's like a back-to-back, usually the backup will come in and start that game.
Yeah, I got you. Well, that's good. Good. So we got, you said Bruins and Hurricanes.
And then
you had Stars, and then we go to the Pacific. Who you got? Who you looking
Canucks,
for?
The Canucks are tearing it up this year. Like, they're sitting second in the league with 33 wins, 11 losses, and 5 overtime losses. So not that far behind Boston.
Yeah, they are currently got the most wins in NHL with 33. Yep. Avalanche following with 32 and Bruins with 31.
Yep. 30.
Is it 30?
Stars have 30, yeah.
So, yeah, Stars 30 and 13. So what you think Canucks can hold off the Golden Knights in the Pacific Division?
I think so, because Canucks have been, injuries a lot this season. So that's definitely hindering them.
Mm-hmm.
The Oilers can make a jump and pass Vegas if they keep going the way they're going.
Yeah.
Like, their last 10 games being 10-0-0 was pretty damn good.
Yeah. So you think that probably seems like your toughest division there, Canucks, Golden Knights, and Oilers. You think?
Yeah. I agree.
I gotcha. So I think I have no, I don't think that's total, not this year. Sorry, I was gonna do the head to head between Vegas and Vancouver, which overall their head to head is Vegas has 18 wins and Canucks have 8. So 18-8 is their record, with Vegas holding that all-time record over.
Right.
So you said Canucks are tearing it up?
I think so.
We got Bruins, Hurricanes, Stars, and Canucks winning the division. You heard it here first on the High Heat Podcast with Bryce. So that'll take me on to my next question. What teams do you see making the playoffs, which we had originally right now, statistically wise, like I said, we'll just start with the East. We had Bruins, Red Wings, Panthers, Lightning, Hurricanes, Flyers, Rangers, and Maple Leafs. Does that list stay true, or is there any other teams that kind of sneak in there?
I think they stay the same.
Stay the same? Might mix up in seeding?
Yeah, in seeding, but I don't, like, the only team that I could think that could come back up, would, I don't know. I would say maybe the Flyers. I don't know. It all depends. Like,
yeah. There is a lot that can happen injury-wise, keep people exactly going, win streaks.
Exactly.
There could be a lot that happens, which I know this is early, you know, halfway point. It's kind of hard to make a prediction, but you can kind of tell. Usually those top two spots usually are kind of almost in lock. Or they're at least the top two spots are going to make playoffs. Like you said, that the East is probably going to stay the same. In the West, you have Canucks versus Predators, Stars versus Jets, Golden Knights versus Oilers, Avalanche versus Kings. Do you see anybody dropping out or being added into that?
I would say the Kraken have a chance of getting back up in there again.
Yeah. Whose spot would they take, Kings or?
I would say Kings, yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I think I watched them play the other night, and they looked pretty solid. Actually, I think they were playing, who was it? They were down like 4-0 and came back and won, I think, in overtime. It might have been the Kraken. I might be talking about somebody else, though. But
That's another crazy stat that's happened this year as to how many multi-goal games have been up by multiple goals and then losing the game.
Really?
That's happened a lot this season. A 4-1 win.
Yes.
Sometimes turns into a 5-4 loss.
That's wild. I think I saw some NHL analysts saying that this was the highest, as of up to this date, the highest scoring season so far up to the halfway point. I don't know the numbers on that, but they said that how many goals have been scored.
I definitely agree with that.
It's been pretty wild. You know, a lot of 5-4 games, like you said, or 4-3, or, you know, 6-5, you know, something like that, where usually you saw, 2-1, 1-0,
3-2.
Or like early on in the season when the Sharks were losing like 10-11.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, I don't think I've ever seen an NHL game go that high in points.
Now, speaking of the Sharks, they've had a roller coaster of a season where they went like 10 straight losses to 8 straight wins to another 8 straight losing streak. Like, it's either losing for a week or winning for a week to where they can't ever go back and forth, win-loss, win-win, loss-loss. It's they've had a roller coaster of a season, and it took them forever to get their first win. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like, what, 13? Something like that, 13 games, something like that.
Where in there, and then they went on like an 8-game win streak or something like that. Right. So it's been a roller coaster of a season for them for sure so far. Don't know how that's going to hold up with their coaches or front office or whatnot, either if they hold all together by the end of the year or what, or how they're currently doing.
Time will tell.
So that brings you to what has been your biggest surprise as a team? What team has been your biggest surprise, I should say?
I'd say the Canucks.
The Canucks, what were they projected low and then they're just showing out, or just how good they actually are?
They're just good all around. Like, they're running around for top PK and power play. They're up in there. So,
yeah. So you got Canucks as the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
And that will take me to what has been your biggest disappointment? What team is you thought was going to be good this year and ended up not being too good?
Blackhawks.
Who?
Blackhawks.
Okay, I got you. What are you disappointed about with them?
I'm not disappointed in any way. I just feel like the fact that they lost Bedard was just a big punch for them.
Yeah, he went out with a broken jaw for, what, 4 to 6 weeks or something like that?
4 to 6 weeks, and sadly, he is not making – he's going to be at the All-Star, but he's not able to compete. And he would have been the youngest player to ever at that age to make an All-Star appearance.
Yeah. What about that hit that he took? Clean, dirty?
How did that – like, to be honest, like – as a hockey fan, I would say it was clean. It's just like, moving on to your next question about Bedard.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely say, like, will he be scared now into making pressure plays because of this injury?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of players that do get injured. They do get a little timid. And then there's other players that go right back to the way they used to play. So,
exactly.
But that does bring us back into our next topic about Connor Bedard. You know, come in, number one pick, highly recruited, known as a phenom, supposed to be, you know, put up against the next Wayne Gretzky, you know, type of player. His first half, what's your thoughts on his total first half, other than his recent injury not being able to play?
Let me just, 1 second, let me just pull up his
stats. I got stats right here if you want to hear them.
Okay.
All right. But he should be back within like the first week of the All-Star game, correct? After the All-Star game?
It's hard to tell because they did say at the very first, it was like 7 to 8 weeks, and now it's down to like 4 to 6, I think.
Yeah.
So right now, with his current stats, right now he has 15 goals, 18 assists, and 15 goals and 18 assists.
Yeah.
I feel like if he can get back onto the grind after his injury, I feel like he'll pick it back up again and I guess beat his projected his projected go at least to it or surpass his projected stats for the end of the year.
Gotcha. As a rookie, what are some of the highest stats, I should say, like, you know, goals or assists? What's some records or something, or do you know of any?
I don't really know that.
Figured he would break it or not, or if he was close. I wasn't for sure on any of those, or if he was going to, or if he was on pace to or not.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But no, I do not know anything beyond that.
I gotcha. Yeah, I think you have Timu Solani for Winnipeg Jets in the season 92-93 season. Says he had 84 games played, 76 goals, 56 assists. I'm assuming that's scoring by a rookie. Yeah.
Correct.
So, guy tore it up. 76 goals as a rookie. Second place. They did it by games played. Second place is 53 goals. So that's how much further he was ahead. 23 goals more than the second place.
Yeah. So,
and then you had Ovechkin at third. Games played, 52 goals, 54 assists.
He's getting pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Only has 9 goals this season, but.
Yeah, he's about to break what record, or?
I think it's. Oh no, he's close. He's getting close to Gretzky's record for goals.
Yeah. Yeah, again, we got to watch. Did he score a goal when we watched him a couple years back?
Yes, he did.
I think he had one, so we got to watch one of those.
And then we got to see my boy Sagan.
Yeah.
2 goals, game winner.
Yeah, he tied it up, and then game winner in OT. That was awesome, man. Couldn't have run
that. And then going towards that is that it's just crazy how good the pickup of Matt Duchene has done to that Stars lineup.
Yeah.
Like, you have the top line that's been like reconfigured because they're just not playing as well as that Duchene, Marchment, and Seguin line.
Well, with speaking of our All-Star selections and everything, do you think they got the All-Star selection right, or did they leave anybody out that might have should have been in there?
I feel like, to be honest, like, they definitely could have given Duchene or Robertson or Hintz for Dallas.
Yeah.
Or Pavelski, one of those guys. And then of course you got other than, like, I'm just trying to think, like, team wise.
Do they do it by voting, or do they actually go by stats and everything? Because I know a lot of football and baseball, they started doing, like, let the fans vote for the All-Star team.
Yeah, so what they did was they had of course, they had 30 players selected.
Yeah.
Or 32, one from each team. And then the fans got to do the last
vote on the last bit of them.
And the last, I think, 10 or 11 players, I think.
Yeah. We did me and Shelby did an episode the other day, and with the NFL Pro Bowl selections, they voted in a guy that had, like, no stats whatsoever. And then a guy that had some good stats didn't get voted in. So I didn't know if there was some kind of situation like that with NHL where, you know, the fans just vote on popularity, pretty much, on who they like or how many fans for the certain player. So not always the best players get in, which is sad because you have a great year and you might not be a big name guy and have the most fan support, but you had a great year and put up heck of stats to make it to the All-Star game and don't get voted in. I think that sucks for that player that did put the hard work in and deserved it, but doesn't get to just because he's not as popular.
And another thing going with the adding on to that is definitely the fact that there'll be four Maple Leafs going and five Canucks.
Okay. All right. So what's your thoughts on the jerseys?
I've looked at them, but they could have done better.
They're kind of plain, aren't they?
I understand where they were trying to get.
Yeah.
But I just they just don't sit well with me.
Just missed it, huh? I think they're cool. Like you said, they're cool, but I don't think they're the best ones I've ever had. They could have definitely done better for sure.
Exactly.
But that'll bring us to our last point. All right, this is going to be our way too early Stanley Cup Final Four and championship. So I'm going to have you pick two teams from the East, two from the West, and then we'll just let you spill out your final bracket, what you got. So from the East, who's your final two teams to come out of the East to have a one win away from the Stanley Cup?
I think Boston's going to kill it. Gonna definitely die again.
What do you mean, like first round or
first or second?
Who do you see coming out of that division? Who do you pick the final four to be from, or two from the East?
Final four from the East.
I should say final two. I want two from the East, two from the West, and then we're gonna say who wins that and then who wins the Stanley Cup.
Okay, got it. So in terms of that, I would say Florida again, and then I think it's going to be I really feel like it'll be a battle for Florida, for Tampa Bay and Florida.
It'll be them two?
Yeah.
The Florida's going to send the team to the Stanley Cup, gotcha. And then from the West, two teams.
Stars and probably Canucks.
Canucks. All right. So who's going to win the Battle of Florida?
It's so hard because they both have pretty good goalies. Mm-hmm. Their point producers are getting points pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But I would have to go with Florida going back again.
Which one? Panthers?
The Panthers, yeah.
Okay. I know they're Florida Panthers, but like the Tampa Bay is in Florida, so I didn't know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I could definitely see the Panthers going back again.
Yeah.
And I would have to say probably 4-2, so six games.
Six games between those two?
Yeah.
Okay. So to the West, Stars and Canucks. What you got there?
I feel like as long as the producers for the Stars keep doing what they've been doing, and a lot of analysts that I've heard this season are saying that the Stars have a really good chance at being a Stanley Cup contender, and I'm not just being biased to be a Stars fan, but just because of that, I feel like the Stars will be going to the Cup again since the bubble year.
Yeah. I feel like the Stars have been right there for so long that they just need one more, like, hump or hill just to get over to start really reeling in Stanley Cup appearance after Stanley Cup appearance. And I'm just waiting for them to break through or bust that bubble and start making that kind of happen here.
I definitely feel like with the producers this season of having like multiple players in the teen, like the 16 to 20 goal range this season.
Yeah.
Like you got Sagan, Duchesne, Marchment, and you have of course, Rope Hintz, who's leading the team.
Yeah.
But in that case, I feel like it would be a best of seven with the Stars.
Gonna go the distance.
The Stars making DeBoer's record of game seven wins put it up.
I got you. I got you. So you got Panthers and Stars in the Stanley Cup. Who you got taking it all?
The Stars. I just feel like they have, this is the year they have their team, and I feel like as long as Ottinger stays healthy, all the players that have been producing stay healthy, I feel like there could be nothing stopping them, because they have a lot of their defensemen who are also in like the I know you have Thomas Hartley, who came on last season with the Stars up and down. And this season he finally got the chance to stay up, and he's actually has 12 goals this season. And he's had 3 overtime winning goals with the last 2 games the Stars have played. Being winning in overtime against the Ducks and the Capitals, he scored both of them.
But the overtime record doesn't scare you any, though?
Like, I don't know. Like, it's not as concerning as other teams. Yeah. So, like, there are teams in the league that are a little bit higher than the Stars in overtime losses, which is a good thing, because as we know, last year that was definitely their struggle with overtimes.
Yeah.
But this year I think they have the right team to push all the way and win that cup before, because Ben's contract ends at the end of the season. So
get that guy Stanley Cup.
He's the longest captain to be there, so.
Yeah. So how many games between Panthers and Stars?
I think it would go to 5, so 4-1.
4-1.
4-1. It's either 4-1 or 4-2. I don't think the Stars can bring them to 7. I feel like they have the right team this year.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying this due to bias. I'm just saying what I see. I guess another thing is that my streak of watching every game is still active.
What are you up to?
Well, last season being 96, and then they played 49 games this season. So yeah. 100 and got to the quick math here.
142? You said 96 and 46?
Yeah. Or no, 96 and 49.
Oh. Just add 3, so 145?
Yeah, and I'm happy watching them through their highs and lows.
Yeah.
But I really still feel like those producers, especially at one point the Stars, having the best penalty kill.
Yeah.
But then they're down. And there's one last little tidbit about the Stars, is that they've scored 96 game goals at home.
Mm-hmm.
64 of them in the third period.
That's good. Good. Like Panthers, they were there last year. They lost 4-1 to the Golden Knights. I like your pick there, to where usually a team that you see lose in the championship game usually has motivation to go back. So it'll be tough beating them after them having that taste in their mouth of losing in the Stanley Cup championship.
to go again. So I'm all for you, man. I hope the Stars win it too. I'd like to get down there and see a game before they get into the playoffs. I'll definitely be rooting for them. So, man, we appreciate you coming on here and spitting your knowledge. And I'm so glad that you're here to pronounce all these names, because I totally would have butchered every single one of them. So we appreciate you on that aspect.
And in terms of prospects, I feel like the Dallas Stars having Logan Stankoven, who won the IIHF Team Canada with Bedard last year.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be pretty close to Wyatt Johnston caliber of player once he finally cuts that string and jumps up to the big leagues. The big stars.
The future is bright for the
Stars. Right now he's in Texas, so he's a little star. Yeah. I feel like he can definitely be when he gets up to the big stars. I really hope that he pulls off similar numbers.
That'd be awesome, man. I'm hoping he does. That'd be nice.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again.
You're thanks for coming on. Thanks for and answering all my questions.
Hopefully I can be back for playoffs again.
Yeah, we'll get you back on for sure, brother.
That'd be cool.
We'll call you out on all your missed calculations. We're all on your right ones, so hopefully you're right.
Hey.
Like I told Shelby, I said, we won't talk about the wrong ones. We only commentate on the ones we got right, because no one's going to go back and check us. So we'll just comment on the right ones. How about that?
Okay. Sounds good.
Sound good, brother?
All right, yeah. Man.
Thanks again for joining us.
No worries.
Catch you later, brother.
Bye.
And we're back. We're going to finish up with a quick little feel good. If you got time, you got time for this quick little one. It's super short.
Yeah, quick minute. We got it.
We got, I don't know if you've heard of this kid, 11-year-old Jeremiah Fennell from Las Vegas. This dude is a legend with the mic. He got invited to do all the interviews for the NFL media day, whatnot. He was born with some medical problems, and pretty much the doctor said his survival was very slim. He had some neurological deficiencies and was born without one of his glands in his brain. But it hadn't stopped him yet. He started making a sort of social media account or a YouTube channel at the age of 7. And now he's 11. He's gotten to opportunity to go to the Super Bowl and do media day. And if you watch any of his interviews, man, this kid talks better than most hosts of TV shows or radio shows. And I just wanted to read a quick little interview he did. He said, I started to do this at the age of 7 years old because I wasn't able to play sports due to some medical issues, but I still like the sports environment. So I decided to hone my craft in journalism at the age of 7, and I started my YouTube channel. And yes, I do think I can keep this as a career because I do still love the sport and I do know a lot about it. So I think that interviewing people can be a long career for me. And this kid read it verbatim like that with no cut-ups, no nothing. Solid interview. He's going to be around for a while as an NFL or any kind of sports analyst. But if you haven't seen him, go look up one of his interviews at the Super Bowl. Jeremiah Fennell, 11-year-old stud. He's going to be around for a while.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Being involved in stuff that he enjoys, even though he's isn't able to play it and hadn't been able to play it.
Mm-hmm. That's making best of your situation, and he's doing the best of it for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, good for that young man. Hopefully he keeps at it and has a good, fun time doing it.
Like I said, if you haven't listened to any of them, I encourage you to go Google him, look him up, and listen to some of his interviews. Kid crushed it for sure and did a great job. So, but you got to go. You got lunch or something, right? You got to go meet up?
Yeah, I got to go with the wifey for lunch, and
you better get there. I think mine just made lunch here, so I'm about to go crush some food too myself.
Jealous.
Oh, happy Super Bowl Sunday. You got any quick things you do for Super Bowl? Any things you do like every year, something for Super Bowl? There's some kind of not superstition, but like a tradition, I guess?
Make some finger foods, you know, some queso, some little smoked little weenies, whatever you call them, and throw some, you know, Dr. Pepper barbecue in with it, make my own little sauce with some brown sugar. And
love it.
You know, maybe this year I may throw some bacon in with it and just let it cook in that too.
You can never ruin something with bacon.
No.
I think my small little one is a tradition. I get IBC cream sodas and root beers. I don't know why. The only time I drink it is during Super Bowl, and I'll get them for Super Bowl. And I don't know why that became a tradition, but it did. I've been doing that since college, I guess, because we weren't allowed. I wasn't at the age to drink during college. So I got the IBC root beers and put those up, and it's been a tradition since. So
I would say IBC and A&W are the top right there.
Yeah. Yes, I'd agree. So we'll let you go so you don't miss that lunch date. And I'm going to go get some lunch myself, man. Happy Super Bowls weekend. And hope it's a good game.
Absolutely. And our next episode, you know, everybody look for kind of a quick turnaround. Give you a little update, our thoughts and feelings on it. And we're going to shift gears because pitchers and catchers report, was it Valentine's Day?
It's coming up quick.
Be ready, everybody, because now we're going to start our bread and butter.
Yep. Our baseball season is upon us.
Finally.
Yep. We're back. We are back. We are back. But we're going to get Doug back.
We've got some NHL to cover, which is, you know, a whole heck of a lot better than the old NBA, but, you know, I guess we'll touch on that. But also some college hoops coming up because March Madness is around the corner.
Yep. And we got some NBA talk and some PGA talk. Well, like I said, we're going to have a quick episode turnaround and we'll get all that out to you soon. So have a good one, man.
You too.
Don't be late. Tell the wife happy birthday for me.
Absolutely. Will do. And hopefully, right, hopefully when you're both sides, we can get together.
Sounds good. Definitely.
All right, man.
All right. We'll see you
later.